Netcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is TWiT.
Bandwidth for All About Android is provided by CacheFly at CacheFly.com.
This episode of All About Android is brought to you by Ting.com. Ting gives you big savings and billing clarity for mobile phone service. Try their online savings calculator and save $50 on your device purchase at Ting.com/AllAboutAndroid. And by Audible.com. To download a free audiobook of your choice, go to audiblepodcast.com/Android.
Welcome to All About Android, episode 5050, recorded on Monday, March 5th, 2012. This is your weekly source for all the latest news, hardware, and apps for the Android faithful.
It's a milestone episode.
I'm Mylene Rivera.
I'm Jason Howell.
And I'm Ron Richards.
And we have a very special guest, Mark Burstener.
Burstener.
Founder of FTW.
Yes.
Not
for the win.
Yes. Let's clarify.
Oh, did I just ruin that?
No. I just want you to clarify for everybody.
I am.
You're a big Android enthusiast, and we're going to talk about something that you're developing, your company's developing, which
I think
is really, really cool later on. This week, we've got another OS update for Android to talk about.
I don't know what you're talking about.
There's some privacy concerns, supposedly, out there with your photos on your phone. Ron has a big Google TV roundup. I've got a review of the Lenovo A1 IdeaPad. And in the arena, it's all about apps submitted by you.
That's right.
Your apps.
Community's apps. I'm excited about that.
Me too.
Yeah, me too.
We got such a huge list of apps to choose from.
Yeah, I know. And I've been like going back and forth like what we do with the ones that didn't get picked because there were a lot of really good ones.
Yeah.
There are only four of us here, so we could only pick four of them.
No, luckily, we have a fourth today.
Yeah, exactly.
Only been three.
Bonus. No, but like I waited till this morning before I picked mine because I literally spent all weekend going through them all.
Yeah.
Like, oh, I could totally do this one. I could totally do this one.
I think that might be because yours wasn't the clear winner. So mine was a very
easy choice.
Oh,
I see.
Mark's seen the show before.
I know. Even our guests are coming in all cocky. Ready for the arena at this point.
All right. Created an air of animosity. That's what I like about it.
Next week, weapons. Huh? What do you think?
Weapons on your phone.
Yeah.
Well, you know, there's tons to talk about, so let's go ahead and jump into our news. As I mentioned, there's going to be another OS update, but before I get to that, let's talk about some jelly beans. Anybody need jelly beans?
I don't understand what you mean when you say jelly beans. Like, why is that pertinent to Android?
I don't know. They like their desserts.
Well, Justin, I'll tell you.
Let's have some jelly beans.
I have no idea. I don't understand.
So we talked about jelly bean being the next name of the Android OS.
Oh, that's right. That's right.
Ice cream sandwich.
There we go.
A, B, C, D, E, F, mm-hmm.
Were you? Was that a bit? Was that a bit? Or were you seriously curious about the jelly bean?
Oh, dude, Ron, come on.
Really?
He's that good.
We talked about Jelly Bean last week, and ASUS claims it is going to be among the very first to get Android 5.0. Now, VP Benson Lin said ASUS is very close to Google, so once they have Android 5.0, I think there will be a high possibility that we will be the first wave to offer the Jelly Bean update. End quote. Hmm. They are also rumored to possibly be working on that next Google Nexus tablet, that 7-inch tablet. That's just a rumor out there, so don't quote me on that. But ASUS says, and you know what? A lot of their devices do come out with, the latest software.
Yeah.
Along that same lines related, last week we didn't report this, but a lot of the Transformers who did not previously have Ice Cream Sandwich did get their update last week. And there was some problems. There was a lot of problems. In fact, we have a listener email from Bob who says, I've had a lot of problems. As I gather, many people have from looking at a couple of the forums, many apps, even updated Google apps close regularly, and navigating from one screen to another using the apps list can take up to 20 seconds. Oh. Yeesh. The browser is slow, etc. Perhaps you folks could look into what experience people are having and comment or even make some suggestions. Now, ASUS denies that there are many claims to the bugginess of the Transformer ICS update. A rep in the UK said, we're not aware that there are any inherent issues with the firmware updates we are rolling out. In fact, the opposite. The spokesman said the customers who do have issues are the ones who reach out loudest. We're not ignoring them. Now, if you take a look at their Facebook post, they said, hey, ICS is out. And then you look at the 200 some odd comments on there. There's some good ones. There's some good ones, but there's also a lot of talk about problems, one of which is major battery drain. Now, we've gotten a ton of email. Well, I don't want to say a ton. We got a handful of emails. A lot of people can't watch us anymore on live.twit.tv on their browser. And we were first to ask, are you using Chrome? Because you can't use Flash on
Chrome.
And a lot of them are saying no. So there seems to be a ton of different issues.
Yeah.
ASUS says they're working on it if you have the issue, but I just keep hearing more and more complaints.
I didn't want to say it, but that Transformer is too good to be true. Wait, are we, well, here's where it turns out where there are problems.
There are problems. But are it's
we
the
talking,
update.
We are talking about the Transformer, not the Transformer Prime, correct?
Both. Actually, both of them are having issues. Now, the ones that shipped with ICS, I don't think are the
are
ones
fine.
That. Yeah. Are but
fine.
the ones that are just getting that update.
Yeah.
So, say you bought it before, you know, they're the ones who are complaining. And there's a ton. I mean, if you just scroll. Ton of people saying now. There's people say mine works awesome and the battery's lasting longer on it. So it just depends. Now ASUS did have on the Prime some GPS issues, some Wi-Fi reception issues. So you know, all of this is.
I mean, that's
pretty
not
buggy.
A trivial update by any means.
No,
that's a massive.
No. And it was delayed too. It was definitely delayed. They were supposed to release that earlier. So there must be some reasons why they waited. And I don't know.
I don't know if this necessarily means that. The Transformer is obviously. I know you're, that was partly in jest.
That was a bit.
So. Okay, there we go. But I don't know. Like I almost get the feeling that like most hardware, you know, at least on Android, like we're almost kind of used to it. It's almost like we're used to the abuse a little bit, right? Like we're used to a device getting some sort of an update and having some issues that then get worked out in a .001 update that immediately follows that. I don't see that. That's a big deal as far as ASUS. Being the one to kind of anoint Android 5 or the first manufacturer to do that, I could totally see that.
Yeah.
I mean, the stuff that ASUS is doing for tablets, which is kind of a market that Google is trying very hard to get some sort of a foothold in right now, they're doing things that are definitely different than the likes of Samsung that are kind of making decent quality tablets but are kind of like what you're already used to. ASUS seems to be pushing that level. And for Google to get behind them and say, look, this is why we're different in tablets. This is why we think that we bring something different than, say, the iPad or something like that. I could totally see it.
They've got some juice to them. They've got some energy. Like they've got momentum. I mean, in most recent date, the Transformer Prime has been the device that everyone's been talking about.
I came very close to getting one.
Really?
The only reason I didn't is because supposedly the Nexus tablet is right around the corner that perhaps ASUS is going to be doing as well. But this is, I mean, I'm probably going to say this again this very show, but the best thing that they can possibly do at this point is take Android, lock it down, make the hardware yourself. Because that's where these problems come from, is because they have to go through to a third party. They have to go through the manufacturers. They have to go through the carriers.
Yep.
That's where these problems happen. This thing, granted, isn't perfect either.
Galaxy Nexus.
I have a Galaxy Nexus, and it's not perfect either.
Yep.
But it's definitely the closest to any. Closest to perfect that I've had an Android device be for me.
So you're saying that you want Google to lock down the hardware and not be as open, quote unquote.
That's what
as
I mean, like, look,
been.
I mean, you can let people do it, but if they're gonna try and sit on the fence and give us this Nexus tablet or Nexus devices that are supposed to be the purest expression of Android as it's intended, even those are starting to get hampered. When have you ever seen a Nexus device without a Google logo anywhere? Right. Like, they're already starting to flex their muscles a little bit, the manufacturers and the carriers. They've got to do something about that.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's,
but like Web 4959 says, it defeats the purpose of open.
And it goes against kind of Google's
If they want to let people
MO.
Use it, by all means let people use it. But if you're going to do a Nexus experience, do the Nexus experience. And even if they...
So that's separating from...
Well, that's, I mean, but that's, I mean, we've had this discussion before. I mean, I've made the comparison where it goes back to Microsoft and PCs and stuff like that, where when there'd be a new version of Windows, you'd have all this litany of my device drivers doesn't work, my video driver doesn't work, my printer doesn't print. Whereas, you know, which you do have that a little bit on the Mac OS side of the OS X side of things.
So rarely.
But more rare in that regard. And that's the balance between an open platform and where you're letting people, you know, develop their hardware. There could be one chip in the transformer that causes the battery to drain through one specific use case with ice cream sandwich that Google didn't test and that ASUS didn't test that users are finding out.
Right.
And that's going to happen. And honestly, I think that you're right to have a pure lockdown version of this is the great way to go. That's awesome. But it also that limits choice and why we at least why I like Android is that it's open. And so it's the balancing between the two and customers knowing that that is a risk.
Right.
So.
I mean, essentially, you're almost saying, hey, Kindle Fire, right?
Yeah.
Are you like supporting their version and they're logging
in? Not at least.
Conceptually, though.
Conceptually.
Well, I mean, my thing is, look, I'm happy with Android. What I like about Android openness, because really the openness of Android is a little bit of an illusion. But what I like about it is the amount of control that it gives me. That's what I really care about when I say open. When I mean that I can root it if I want to. I can do things futz around with the LED on here. Do things like that's what matters to me. And at this point, the platform has blossomed into something really beautiful with ICS. Yep. And I shudder to think what the manufacturers are going to do to sully that.
Right. So when you say lockdown, you don't necessarily mean locking it down so you can't do those things with your phone.
No, but at the very least, making sure that the best experience is available in as many avenues as possible. Because you cannot get this anywhere but Verizon in the U.S.
Right. Right. Well,
unless you want to import it.
This is interesting because over the weekend, I cannot for the life of me remember where I read this, but I think it was in some comment on some story that I was reading where someone was like, how come the Nexus couldn't be some like... kind of label that's given to a phone that's like certified Nexus.
Even though Nexus
itself is more than just like certifying it something, it's getting your updates from Google directly.
Right. Mm-hmm.
But what if that became kind of a differentiator in and of itself
and again,
that you meet all of these requirements for a Nexus device?
No question.
And it means all these things, therefore, bam, it's a Nexus phone.
That's what Microsoft eventually did.
Mm-hmm.
You remember you would buy a video board and it would be Windows certified.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what you have to do, I think, to a certain degree. I think that,
And some people in the chat room are saying, I thought it already was. I think the difference here is that in order for you to be a Nexus device, you have to have that relationship directly with Google, and you're like the only one that gets to do it at that
partnership.
Point.
There's never more than one Nexus going out at one time. We've seen the generations.
Right.
And,
give the manufacturers the ability to choose to release Nexus devices so that they too can cash in on that segment of the market. I see where you're going.
Anybody want to differentiate?
Watch the show?
Does anyone at Google watch the show? I don't know.
And have they not already thought of this?
You're welcome.
We're not that smart.
Seriously.
Yeah, no, it's true. We're not.
All right. Well, as we continue the discussion on OS, after Jelly Bean, apparently, what's coming next is KLP. Key lime pie. Now, this is KLT, not truffle. I tried to get a key lime pie in house.
It's hard to get a key lime pie in California
and
in February.
And I missed it by hours. Yeah. There was one down the street and I missed it. But anyways.
Somebody else doing their own dessert out here. That's
a Florida
thing. Yeah, somebody made one just down the street at our Petaluma Pie Company, but I missed it. So
key lime
apparently
pie.
That's the next. Then
sounds delicious. Kay.
And who knows after that, KL... lemon meringue.
Licorice.
If they still want to go down the licorice.
Licorice?
It's going to be licorice.
You think?
Because it's got to be a generic name. It can't be a brand. I'm surprised it's Jelly Bean, to be honest with you.
So they're going
to
have like a statue of
licorice. Well, yeah, like a couple.
A twirly.
Some red delicious.
Google is genius, aren't they? They get you talking about the silliest things when it comes to
I'm going to have some more Jelly Beans
But we
right
love
now.
To talk about it. It's fun to figure it out. All right, so switching gears a little bit, you may have heard recently iOS came under fire when it was discovered that a loophole actually allows apps without permissions to access photos stored on the user's device. Then, soon after, New York Times reported that Android allows the same thing, only the big difference is that iOS is designed to keep apps away from these types of things, and Android's file system was actually designed, as Google puts it, similar to those of other computing platforms like Windows or Mac OS, meaning the content stored on a removable drive, say your SD card, is simply data stored to a drive, not particular types of data that need to be cleared anytime an app wants access to it. So over the weekend, U.S. Senator Charles Schumer called for the Federal Trade Commission here in the U.S. to investigate, saying that smartphone makers should be required to put in place safety measures to ensure third-party applications are not able to violate a user's personal privacy by stealing those photographs or data that the user did not consciously decide to make public. And now it seems Google might be reevaluating the permissions for such a thing, which would certainly make things like sharing photos at least a little more difficult. But it begs the question, is all of this even necessary? I don't know. What do you guys think?
Eileen is disgusted.
Go to
that might have been the key lime troubles, I think.
It was the key lime pie.
That's Schumer, man.
Senator.
He just, yeah.
And that Schumer.
The senator from New York. Do you not like Schumer?
That Sherbert. I mean, yeah. That Schumer.
We're not there. I think, honestly, I think both Apple and Google have to cringe when they see FTC and senators.
Yeah.
When it gets to that level, that's not good. Exactly. Yeah.
It just seems like a little bit of a big step there. I think it is interesting. Yet again, Jerry Hildebrand, one of the editors at Android Central, wrote a really good article kind of comparing the way iOS does this type of sharing to the way Android, basically the way their file systems differ. And I thought it was a really good point. You know, do we feel this same way about a PC, which is, after all, you know, how Google kind of designed the file system on the Android to mimic, and not necessarily iOS, which is a very locked down kind of ecosystem.
Well, no, but so for still, that to happen still, no, there. But it's still a lockdown operating system. Mm-hmm. There's still a smartphone is just a computer you hold in your hand.
Exactly.
Right.
So, I mean, so the fact that it should behave like a computer in terms of managing the file system and managing files, whether they're photos or documents or anything like that, I have no problem with. That's how it works. That's how the ecosystem works, no matter whether it's lockdown, whether it's BSD, whether it's Java, whether, you know, like whatever the however it's being built, that's how it works.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know. I think this is much ado about nothing.
At the same time, on the other end, we agree to a lot of, you know, permissions when we install apps. Mm-hmm. Half the time, I would guess, I know for myself even still, and I probably shouldn't do this, but half the time I don't read through of the permissions. I just accept it. So is it that big of a deal on the other side?
But flip it back over. Do you agree to permissions when you install an app on your laptop?
Well, it's either that or don't use the app.
Right, yeah, exactly. Yeah, so this whole idea of permissions on the phone is kind of this weird kind of veil of privacy or veil of, kind of security that you have. Because ultimately, you don't really need that. You inherently are giving, when I install an application on my laptop, I'm inherently giving it permission to access the other files.
We've been talking about this stuff for years and years and years, all the way back to, I mean, stupid stuff like someone spilled hot coffee in your lap from McDonald's. Like, well, the coffee was hot.
Right.
Mm-hmm. You wanted hot coffee.
Yeah, but it was really, really hot.
Well,
it's scorching.
It's hotter than hot.
I'll tell you what. We'll put a little sign on the cup for you to let you know that the hot coffee you ordered is hot. Yeah. Like, I mean, really, people are going to be idiots.
Yeah.
If you're going to download something that clearly looks no bueno, and it's going to go wreak havoc on your photo album, upload that to whatever, who knows what.
Which hey, man, people choose to do all the time.
Legislators going to legislate.
That's
what they're going to do.
Yes, they are.
That is true.
But anyway, so moving on, it was funny. On the way here, we stopped to get a drink at 7-Eleven, and Mark used Google Wallet at 7-Eleven. I'd actually used it in the wild. Yeah. And then it was funny to see this story come up. And the Wall Street Journal is reporting that actually Target, Walmart, and other retailers are teaming up to take on Google Wallet. And the journal reported that Target, Walmart, along with a number of unnamed fast food, big box, and drugstore retailers – I'm sure you could guess probably a couple of those names – are developing their own mobile payment system to compete with the likes of Google Wallet, ISIS, and many others that pop up. Their eagerness stems from their desire to build brand loyalty as well as to avoid the security and privacy risks they see in competing services. And Google,
because they won't have any of that.
Yeah.
Exactly. And of course, Google representative welcomed the competition. Touting customer choice and payment space is good for everyone involved. Yeah. So I can't wait to get my Walgreens wallet and to be able to pay. You know,
That one sentence that you read, that was the biggest load of crap I've ever
the brand loyalty, the desire to build brand loyalty as well as avoid the security and privacy risks they see in competing services.
The problem, and this isn't something that even just only pertains to Android, this is something that's all technology, but like if we're going to start to focus on being able to compete for consumers' attention, we need to be competing for their attention with quality. Not for brand loyalty purposes.
So you're saying like a Target, Walmart, Burger King joint initiative to build a mobile wallet thing are you saying it wouldn't be as quality of an app as Google Wallet?
Not just the app, but the service itself. The way that they treat it, like, I want to be treated like I matter as a customer, as a user. even if I'm not actually directly paying you anything, right. I want to be able to feel like what I'm using is part of my everyday life. See, not some.
Well, no, and I'm sure they will do that. But it's interesting to play a little bit of devil's advocate, at least from the retailer perspective. If they can cut Google out, if you can cut the middleman out of the scenario, mm-hmm. and just have people pay you directly.
Yeah. Not to mention, if you end up doing that with the big reach and pull that they have, and end up making a service that, who knows,
works
even better than the other services, and they stand to make a lot of money when they farm that out to other places.
If that's the case, if the service is better, if it's a better experience, it's more seamless, awesome. I'm all for that.
It doesn't necessarily have to be better. It just has to be, it just has to seem better to the right people, right?
Even that. But
it seems like Google Wallet and Google is the biggest target, but like Square is their target. Like Cardcase.
If you look at exactly what Square is doing, they're leapfrogging NFC.
Love Square.
They're on their own path, right?
They're killing it. Have you seen Square Register? They're killing it.
It's awesome.
Yeah.
I think this is
an example that Square and Google Wallet, they're on the right track because they're threatening.
Yeah.
The people who are going to be affected by this are feeling threatened and feel, okay, we need to do something on our own, which I think is always a good sign. So
yeah, I guess the good thing out of all this, like you said, is that if there's that much attention to it, then it's obviously something that everybody wants to work in some way or capacity. My fear is that you get too many cooks in the kitchen doing too many different things, and it does the exact opposite.
Of course. Well, I mean, even just with one cook in the kitchen, more often than not, I feel like you don't really care about me.
Aww.
It's okay.
I'm a sensitive guy.
You know what? We care so much about you, Mark, that we want to know a little bit more about your company.
Great
Which is where That's we're going to go.
Best segue. So
FTW is your company. And if we go to getftw.com, I'm looking at a service where it is your universal gaming identity that you're working on. I love the fact that apparently you're going to be able to sync your game saves.
Yeah.
Now, that means like if I have that game on different devices, I will still... this is what I've been waiting for.
Yeah.
Where have you been? I'm the one who's always talking about games, and I lose my... You know, if I started a game on one tablet, but I'm going to... You know, it's a review unit, and then I got to give it back, but I want to keep my identity. I want to keep my levels.
Yeah.
I can with this, right?
Absolutely.
Explain
There's so many games that don't allow this, and then you have to start from scratch.
Well, they don't allow it. I mean, like, if you talk to any small developer, I mean, they'll tell you that this is no small feat. And I can tell you from experience building it that it is no small feat. It's a big challenge to do and to do correctly, which is really kind of leads into the Google Wallet thing, too. Mm. Like, I don't really trust somebody who I don't know, I don't play video games with, to handle that stuff for me. So we decided to do it on our own, right? So we're syncing all of your data. That's kind of where it started. But really what we want to do is become your identity as a gamer. Hmm. Not just what you're playing, the actual hard ball of the data, handling that. But all of your friends, all of your social stuff, all of your achievements, all your scores, all of your stats, your entire history. And being able to start looking at those things and expand that. What else can we do with that? How can we take gaming kind of further into the future without starting to think about these like free-to-play things that I feel are a little bit detrimental to the industry, that kind of trivialize gaming and game design and kind of make the really good game designers really harder, a lot harder to find. Because even games like Tiny Tower, I just saw Tiny Tower in the chat really quick, they do support syncing. But that's a three-person team. That's a very, very small
three-person team?
Yeah. Nimblebit, I believe, is what they're called. That's a very, very small team.
But they don't support it cross-platform.
No, they sure do.
Really?
Oh, totes my goats. It's on Android and iOS,
I know, but if I'm playing, I started the game on iOS, but I want to port it over. I want to still have all my levels. Really?
Yep.
I better look
into that. I believe they do it via one of our competitors, but the thing is, we do it better.
Okay. So, some of your competitors, OpenFaint, right?
Yeah, that's the big one.
That's probably the easiest to point out. We like to say, OpenFaint. Well, first of all, they were purchased by Gree, which is a Japanese company. So they're actually very...
That's right.
Yeah. So, as it is a subsidiary of Gree in the U.S. There's them. But we like to think that we're a little bit bigger of a scope. We like to think...
It's not just about sync.
It's not just sync. It's your entire identity. So we're thinking... We're talking a network. We're talking Xbox Live. We're talking you.
Right, that's
the way
nice
that
question.
You interact with other gamers. We want that to be through us.
Yeah. Can we see? Do we have anything to show?
Yeah, I do. Okay. We actually, this is the, oh no, it closed.
Uh-oh.
This is the Android app that we built out.
It's not available yet. This is in beta, right?
Yes. Okay. And you can sign up for the beta if you want to. These are a couple of the views that you'll be able to see. Is that on screen?
Yeah. Oh, look at that.
Is that cool?
The future is great.
These are some of the views that you're going to be able to see. So this is one of the things that we think that we can do really well, because if we're handling your data, mm-hmm. suddenly we know a lot more about you as a gamer. We can get you a lot more robust and interesting recommendations. You can actually see what your friends are doing at any given moment. You can go, say, like over an into activity and see that someone is online right now doing something in particular, things like that. And when you start to think about having access to that kind of data, you start to be able to do really, really cool things. Unfortunately, that it does require some developer support.
Yeah, so, I would imagine.
I'm sure.
Every game that wants to tie into this has to have special coding on there.
So we can actually pull public feeds. We can do that for the social aspect. But for the stuff that the developers need to support, I was telling Ron, we actually have it down to quite a bit of a science. We have it down to literally, you've never heard of FTW, you're a developer, start looking at the documentation. Less than an hour later, you're syncing your titles.
Wow.
That's literally it.
And that's the key thing, is that in order to get people to get on board with it, it's got to be easy to implement.
Yeah,
that's
absolutely. And it's got to, you really do have to have a ton of value. And that's kind of where we see ourselves differentiating in this particular space, is these other companies have kind of gotten a little bit bigger. Some of them actually started putting out titles of their own. Angie Moco did before they got purchased. Yeah. We don't want to do that. We want the experience to be better as a gamer. We want to improve the industry. And we want to enable the developers who are going to make that happen to do it without adding a ton of cycles to their work.
So your customer base is basically one-handed developers making the games.
Yes.
But then there's also gamers like us who would download the FTW app and be able to manage our games, things like that.
Exactly.
So now looking at the app, and this is actually the first I saw it, you know, because we talked before the show, but I didn't get to see it. But it looks like you're doing both iOS and Android simultaneous development.
Yep.
And it looks like you're integrating some of the Ice Cream Sandwich stuff into this.
That was really, really important to us, making sure that we followed all those guidelines. Unfortunately, they're not quite there. They're not, they tend to contradict themselves every once in a while in terms of what you're actually supposed to be able to do. A good example is, I can actually show you the Google Maps app. Actually, I'm sure you guys have all seen the Ice Cream Sandwich Google Maps app, but the guidelines are really, really nebulous in terms of what you're supposed to do for navigation, believe it or not. Just something quite as simple as navigation. That's really clear just about everywhere else. There you go. This drop down here is what we went with, because the maps application works really well.
Yeah.
And people are used to it. So using this to navigate from one section of the app to the other is
so
really
that top level
do
drop
you
down.
You see the screen, Chad? Oh, there we go.
Okay. So,
there
you go.
Oh,
yeah. Using that. Yeah.
We said
oh, yeah. So I saw that when you hit the drop down to see games, everyone, sort of thing.
Okay.
Yeah,
so we kind of went with that. But those are the kinds of things that we've discovered as we're working on making sure this feels at home on Android, because we'll see on the iOS app, feels very different.
Yeah.
Feels like us, but it feels at home on that platform.
Yeah.
We went through a lot of trouble to make sure that it feels right.
Cool. And so now doing simultaneous development between iOS and Android, are there certain things on the Android platform that allow you as a developer to
actually leads into what you said just a little bit earlier, is that when you download the app, right, the beauty of what we're doing, another differentiator, is we're actually, you only need to log into what we're doing once. You download our app, we actually have a great experience for you to enjoy there. But you don't ever have to log in inside of a title. I'm sure you've seen Open Fight titles or a bunch of other titles. They're constantly like, okay, are you player 2,363?
Yes. Yeah, right.
Oh, no, actually.
I'm not.
So we wanted to avoid that. And I know that pain as a gamer. We wanted to get around that. And one of the things that Android lets us do, whoops, I opened up Netflix. Also good. not sponsored this episode, but very good. One of the things that we wanted to do was use Android to track users a lot more efficiently. So what we actually are able to do is, through Android, we can see a manifest of any authenticated Gmail accounts on there. So we can actually tether not just a device, but a Gmail account to your account, to your FTW account.
Okay.
So the same way, if you got a brand new review unit, you log into one Gmail address and your contacts, calendars, Gmail, it's all there.
Oh, that would be part of that.
As soon as you install, as a Froyo app sync support is there, it'll automatically download your games. The next time you play that game, we already know that device belongs to you because you've logged in through your Gmail.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So you don't even necessarily need to. I mean, we want you to run the FTW app. But the technology in this OS lets us do a lot more in terms of what we can support for gamers and what we can make easier.
Oh, that's great.
Very well thought out. People in the chat room are really giving it some good reviews. So they're really loving it.
Is the app out yet? What's your kind of schedule?
So we're slated that by the end of this month, we're going to have the apps out in gamers' hands. We're working right now with some developers to get them running. We'll have plenty at the end of this month to be able to have gamers enjoying it.
Cool.
And doing stuff in there, and then we'll be accepting payments at the end of the month too.
All right.
We have a ton of pro stuff that we think gamers are really going to like real-time notifications when someone's playing, not just 6 hours later when you see it in your feed and things like that.
Mm-hmm.
So you can sign up on getgetftw.com.
You sure can.
Go to that purple button and sign up. Be part of that beta.
Sounds
very
great.
Exciting.
Yeah, very interesting.
This is so cool.
Totally appreciate the importance that you place on the design aspect of it.
Yeah.
Matching the kind of the developer kind of guides that Google
put
out.
Well, I know it's an Android show, but we put that kind of care into everything. So we're doing that for the Windows Phone app too.
Nice. Yeah. They'll appreciate that as well.
Hopefully we just crash your server, I hope.
Oh, no. I probably shouldn't have told the boys.
You're right.
Okay.
Well, thank you, Mark. And, of course, Mark is still on the rest of the show. So
no, I'm leaving.
We're not going. We're not kicking you out.
Seat. No, that was it.
See ya.
I thought that was it.
All right. Before we get into the hardware, let's take a quick break. And we're going to thank a new sponsor for All About Android. And this is Ting. Ting.com/allaboutandroid. Go ahead and go there, and you can follow along with what I'm going to talk to you about. Ting is a new mobile service that makes sense. It comes to us from Two Cows. It's the same folks that brought us Hover, another great service, hover.com. And they're all about bringing billing clarity, usability, and big savings to mobile phone users. Now, Ting is built on the Sprint network, and now it's CDMA. They have a simple plan with honest, fair pricing that bills megabytes, minutes, and text message separately. This is so cool. Now, Chad has actually tried a Ting phone. They have many phones on their service. And what it is kind of like a la carte plans. Now, I don't know about you, but I'm one of those people who had a grandfathered unlimited AT&T plan that is going away. And that is officially probably gone. And I've been throttled and I've gotten that 5% text message. Ugh, annoying. So wireless carriers out there, I'm at that point where I'm like, I need to choose something different, and this actually might be for me. So here you could say, so Chad, so you're picking what you've got. You like to talk on the phone, apparently, 1,000 minutes, and then he chooses, well, I only text message a few times, so 100 minutes, and megabytes, maybe about 500 minutes, and at one phone, that's going to be $40 a month. And the thing is, if you go over, you will just get bumped to the next higher service. You won't get penalized like other carriers will, serve you up a really fat bill because you went over your limit. Also, you'll get a refund if you go under. So these guys are super cool, super nice. And customer service, they're there from 8 a.m. to 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. You'll get great customer service. And the phones, now you have to understand here that you got to buy a phone in order to get the service. And they have some great Android phones, one of which is the Samsung Galaxy S2 4G. I'm pretty excited about that. Now it is $465, but I got to say, that all works out in the end. If your bill is, $30 or $40 a month, I mean, I'm paying almost $100.
I would love a $30 to $40 a month.
Everyone else in the world is unsubsidized. We're the one country.
Exactly.
Totally addicted.
My bill's $135 a month, I think.
Yeah. $135 for one phone.
For my phone, yeah, that's
so,
it. Yeah.
So this $465 plus might be a sticker shock
phone.
At the beginning, but in the end, it's going to be... In the end, it's all going to play out.
Yeah, no, you pay a lot up front, but losing the monthly bill... I mean, I could easily afford. I mean, not easily afford, but I could justify a $400 phone.
Yeah.
Especially if I'm only paying $30-$40 a month, that's great.
Again, this is through the Sprint network, so they do offer that 4G Samsung Galaxy S2 4G phone. The website is very clean and clear. You'll know what your usage is. You'll have easy access to your billing information, lots of control over your features. And again, they're really, really helpful. There's also business plans there. A tweet from a new customer on February 19th. My at Ting FTW phone bill was $22 last month. That's almost exactly $100 less than AT&T. Wow, Ting. Another customer wrote into Ting discussion forum about his family of four. Actual usage across our four phones last month was 2,387 minutes, 4,227 messages, and 429.8 megabytes of data. My cost for all of that, including taxes and junk fees, was $244.21. On Ting, it would be $103 per month, over $140 in savings. And that justifies breaking a contract and buying new devices. These guys are brand new. They're super cool. We looked at all those other... You have many choices of Android phones, which is so cool that they're sponsoring this show. And just a smart way to possibly save on your mobile phone usage. Chad, quality, since you used the phone for, what, a couple months, what was your experience?
It was great. Yeah. I really, really enjoyed the experience that I had with Ting. And the device was fine. I used the HTC Detail. It had a slide-out keyboard, which was fun to have again.
Yeah.
And coverage was 4G. I had 4G coverage in the city, and I really enjoyed that.
Cool. Wow. So that's ting.com/allaboutandroid. Enter ting.com/allaboutandroid and save $50 on your device purchase. Ting is a new mobile phone service that makes sense. Thank you so much, Ting, for supporting our show.
Very excited.
This is so cool. I mean, this is the kind of service that I've been looking for in terms of
saving money,
because it's way expensive.
The whole system's broken.
I know.
Things like this are going to change it, and change it for the better, I think. So.
Exactly.
Yay. That's your show.
All right. Well, it's time for hardware.
Some of those hardware devices in that...
they're not looking too good.
Yeah, they're a little old.
Are they
at
old?
This point.
Yeah, they are.
We
might have to refresh those.
Like a year and a half, almost 2 years old, some of those.
All right. Well, I'm going to start off with a quick review of this Lenovo A1 IdeaPad tablet.
I've been waiting to hear about this
You've
one.
You've been waiting
Every week, I'm like, what is that?
What is that? What's going on? No, I've played with it for about a week. It's a 7-inch tablet, LED display. This is 16 gigabytes, but it's expandable. It has a micro SD card as well, which I don't know if you can see right there. It's a pretty basic device. Now, the key thing about it, $200.
$200.
Really? So it it's comparative to the Fire or the Nook tablet. And it's running Gingerbread, which is really interesting. And I think it's running Gingerbread because it's single core. It is not dual core.
That was going to be my next
It's a little weird to run Gingerbread on this tablet because it looks like a huge phone to me. And I actually went ahead and downloaded Go Launcher X on this, and some of the widgets didn't scale and things look a little weird. But it's interesting. Some other features, there's a front camera, the rear camera, it's only 3 megapixels. This display, again, is LED glare multi-touch. And they also like to tout the fact that there are offline maps, so you can use it as sort of your GPS device in your phone. It doesn't need a connection once you download all the maps on here. Experience on this is okay. I've got the Lenovo overlay right now, and it's a little, I don't know if you can see, I have a little bit of a, it's a little laggy, it's a little hard. When you go to the app drawer, you got to be careful, make sure you go in the middle to drag, because it's very easy to just launch an app.
By accident.
So, you got to be really careful with that. I downloaded Go Launcher X, and that kind of solved my problems. But for now, I wanted to at least show you what you'd be getting out of the box. The unit itself is okay. Again, it's single core, so it's not super fast. There were some games that loaded really slowly. It worked, but it loaded very slowly. Netflix seems to work as well. There's all the functionality of a decent tablet device. Again, you're not running Honeycomb or ICS on this.
And I just looked it up. There is no Honeycomb in the future for this.
In the future for this. Okay, so now
you're stuck on Gingerbread. That's
on Gingerbread.
This is, so, I mean, this is not a power user device.
No, it is not. This is for someone trying to get their first Android tablet. And maybe they want more functionality or more options than maybe this Kindle Fire would do for you. At the same time, the Kindle Fire, at least in my experience, I've had some good support when things have gone down, and I like the Amazon ecosystem. Yes, you can get the Amazon App Store in this, but you don't get the Amazon apps. Well, you can root it. You can, silo, whatever. But it's just a little bit it's just okay. I think that's what I want to say. It's just okay. And it doesn't dazzle me.
Then the LED screen, like the viewing angle gets
viewing
a little
weird. The viewing angle, yeah. if you move it around, you could see it from here, right? Yeah. You could see that it's not quite awesome.
Yeah.
But there are some people who just probably can't afford to pay big for a tablet. And I got to say,
which is all right.
It's okay, but, you know, say... We've gotten a lot of emails from people who are wanting to know about some of these sub-200 tablets. I think your experience is going to be a little bit frustrating, especially if you're using this for an entertainment device. Gaming, one of these games takes seriously at least 30 seconds to load, if not longer. And it takes it's just a little slow. You get what you pay for. Other than that, it does everything that you would probably need it to do, except some... ice cream sandwich notables and honeycomb notables.
Just those things.
Like Chrome. It won't run Chrome. I mean, I just want to say my overall review is it's just okay.
Well, it's good if you're using a tablet while commuting, like on the train or the bus, the person sitting next to you can't really see it very well because of the viewing angle.
Dance Academy, right?
Exactly. Yeah, exactly. So there you go. There's a pro.
There is a pro.
I will say it does look like Lenovo took it kind of easy on the customizations, which
they did. Yep. They did. The device itself is not too heavy. It's about 0.8 pounds.
It's a nice bezel. I mean, like the hardware side. I mean, like the hard. It looks nice. You know, like it looks unique. So
it's got a curved back here. It feels pretty good in the hand. Yeah. I'm as I think people know watching the show. I'm a real fan of the 7-inch form factor.
You are.
I got some news
for you.
Oh, you
coming
do?
Up, yeah.
Oh my God, I can't wait.
Whoa.
Anyways, it's the quick and dirty review of the Lenovo A1 IdeaPad. I'm also going to review this on Before You Buy. Check that out, and it'll release on Friday. So,
sweet.
Yeah.
Cool. So speaking of 7-inch tablets, the chat room's asking for the back pocket test.
Should I do it
quickly?
All right. Really, really quickly.
All right. This is what we like
it actually
to
fit
do.
In my back pocket today.
It's gonna fit in my pocket.
Yeah, oh yeah.
Oh,
oh yeah.
Nice.
Oh yeah.
There you go.
Yeah. And no, I would not buy this for myself.
Ron just wants you to see his pocket.
Yeah, it's basically as much to get everywhere. Like I say what I was going to say. Anyway, back pocket prawn. All right, so speaking of 7-inch tablets, the Samsung Galaxy Tab 7.7 Tab is now available at Verizon. It was available as of March 1st for $500 on contract. So,
I cannot wait for this device.
So they're calling this the world's thinnest 4G LTE tablet. And it's available. It's running Honeycomb, so that's important to keep in mind. So it's a 7.7-inch Honeycomb tablet. That's $499.99 plus a 2-year contract.
Yeah, that's the only part that hurts.
A little sticker shock.
That device we saw at CES, it just magically fit in my hand.
Would it fit in the back of my pocket?
It would fit in the back of your pocket, and it just felt so right. And the fact that, of course, you know, I've got this, you know, terrible addiction to LTE right now, and it has 4G LTE.
Yep. You're sold?
Maybe. I do wish that it had ice cream sandwich already.
Yeah.
Yeah,
that's
what
the
I was
only thing.
Say is that,
after playing
in 2012, in March of 2012, to spend full price,
exactly
$500 on a device that is not running. The most recent
device.
And to not know when it's going to get the update.
Yeah.
That's.
Yeah, you're right.
You're
going to
get the update soon. Don't worry.
Yeah, don't worry about
it. It's upgradable to ice cream sandwich, right?
Yeah.
Quote unquote.
That's a feature, actually.
It's a feature, yes. The feature proof.
I love that feature.
Yeah. It's just a little expensive. I would pay for it if I didn't have the 2-year contract, I think. You know, I don't want to be saddled with that.
Yep.
Yeah.
That's the only thing. If there was a Wi-Fi version for cheaper, which that is not available yet, maybe.
On contract. That is unreal.
Yeah.
It is a great device. I could tell you that right now. We're going to get that in-house, and I'm going to review it because I've been dying to actually spend time with it. And I know I'm going to like it, but I know that those cons are big. Yep. You know, the contract. And
for $500, it's got to also do my taxes, my laundry, as well as make me feel loved.
Yeah.
That's really what the tablet is.
I think it might make you feel loved, but the laundry and the taxes may not do that for you.
Well, how about this? The most poorly timed release of a tablet of 2012. This takes the cake. The Toshiba Excite 10 LE coming March 6th and starting at $529. March 6th, by the way, would be tomorrow.
Oh.
Wait a minute. What's happening Wednesday morning?
Nothing big.
Nothing major. Nothing big.
Okay.
I don't know.
I'm pretty sure I'm going to be in line for this tablet.
This is a lesson in like how to completely like shoot yourself dead.
PR lesson right out of the gate.
Wow.
Maybe that won't be the case. Maybe this is a fantastic tablet, and we will certainly see shortly. But man, the timing compared to the iPad announcement just means that this thing is going to get buried as far as coverage is concerned. But it is billed as the world's thinnest and lightest 10-inch tablet, 7.7 millimeters and 535 grams, respectively. I think I said $529 for the 16-gig version, $599 for 32 gigs. Launches with Honeycomb, Ice Cream Sanders to follow shortly. There's that again.
Shortly, like Motorola's roadmap shortly.
Yeah, the rest of your specs are pretty standard. 1.2 gigahertz, dual core. OMAP 4430, as well as, you know, your 2-megapixel front, 5-megapixel rear, all that kind of stuff. So, it sounds like an okay tablet. I'm trying to find if 529 is on contract or not, but I imagine it's not.
You would think that it wasn't, but
would hope not.
For sure, all bets are off after a seven-inch tablet on contract for
5. That is just
I remember we saw this at CES, too, and it's a decent tablet, a decent size. I remember being impressed with how thin it is compared to the other Toshiba tablets that we saw earlier last year.
Mm-hmm.
You're right. The timing.
Well,
why didn't you get it out?
I
know.
Did they know?
They didn't know
that it was going to be, you know,
sure
timed that
Even
way.
If they had known, you think they really would have put it out directly afterward anyway? They probably would have just skipped and gone to the next model if they were smart. Because it really,
scrap everything that they've done to that
forget
point.
It. I mean,
just because the iPad's coming out.
You get it out before
they'd get it out in some way, right?
Yeah. At least it was 24 hours prior.
Yeah.
One way or another.
So we'll see how that holds up, I guess.
Yeah. All right. It's time for apps. You guys hear about that thing called Siri?
It sounds annoying.
Siri sounds annoying? Yeah, guess what?
Yeah.
There might be something called Google Assistant. 2012 could be the year of Google Assistant. We already have pretty decent voice commands on Android, but this would be a direct competitor to Apple Siri, where we would be able to speak to get answers, search results, and more. The information would obviously come from Google's search engine and personalized results, probably from Google Plus. This is apparently the new focus for Google, led by the Android team. And much like 2011 was Google Plus, that was their focus. This is supposedly the new focus. Unnamed sources say that this new assistant would be revealed by Q4 of this year.
Yeah.
Maybe they'll have a little talk about it at Google I.O. or something.
I wouldn't be surprised, yeah.
But I think when Siri came out, everybody thought, Google's going to be planning something now. If they haven't already.
Well, they do have the Google X project called Mayel, which is...
But this is supposed to be different.
Is it Mayel or Majel?
I thought it was a soft J.
Okay.
I thought that's what it was.
I believe Yogi. This is separate, though. So this is the new directive, and looking forward to being able to say... I don't know what I would do.
Open Netflix.
Open Netflix. Well, no, we can.
No, that's not very conversational.
Can I get a key lime pie?
I want to watch a movie.
Where can I get a key lime pie?
Yeah, that would be a good one.
Can I have a cupcake?
Can I have a
cupcake? Your cupcake is waiting for you at home.
Anyways.
That'll totally happen.
I like it.
All right. Just real quick, because we seem to like to check in on App Inventor from time to time. If you have a Google account, you are going to be able to take part in MIT's new public beta of App Inventor, the tool that MIT adopted from Google and saved from disappearing completely. So if the beta goes well, they're saying it should become a full MIT service soon, and they've pledged resources to help developers in training to get their apps out the door. So you can actually go there and take part in the beta right now. It's back, and it's been resuscitated, and we'll see.
You're endeared to our heart.
Yeah. I love checking in on this because it was dire there for a while.
A little project that could. Yeah,
but MIT has adopted it now, so good things lie ahead, I suppose.
Right on. Cool. So as we talked about at the top of the show, I wanted to check in on Google TV. I actually been meaning to do this for a couple of weeks. As everyone knows, I'm a big Google TV fan / evangelist /
fanatic.
I tend to get obsessive about these things. I don't know. Yeah. Anyway, Mark, you have a Google TV.
So I do.
So you're rocking it. And
yeah.
So figure a good opportunity to talk about some stuff. I have noticed that some new apps have been starting to emerge in the marketplace on the Google TV. Every now and then I go and check and say, okay, yeah, there's the NBA app and there's mm-hmm. that same sports one.
Did you try the karaoke one yet?
No, I haven't tried the karaoke.
You didn't even download it.
No, I didn't even download it. No, yeah.
I downloaded it, but I haven't tried it yet.
Is it okay?
But, I haven't tried it yet, but...
Oh. So, you're worse off than I am. At least I didn't even download it. But anyway.
I downloaded it. Well, because I love karaoke. But yeah. Anyways.
So, there are two apps, though, that I wanted to call out that I thought were interesting. First one is called Able Remote. And this is actually an app that exists both for your phone as well as the Google TV. And basically what it is it's almost the Google does offer the Google TV remote, which is the Google TV remote functionality on your phone. And what Able Remote has done is that they've mimicked that functionality as well as added and, if you ask me, improved a lot on it. So as opposed to just being able to use your phone as a Google TV remote, now it extends what you can do with it so that as opposed to having to use the controls to open up the dock, launch an app, what you can now do is launch an app directly from the remote from your phone. So if you're sitting there on the TV and you're like, I want to switch over to Netflix, you just hit the Netflix button and go from there. But the real cool functionality with Able Remote is that when you have the Able Remote app on your Google TV and on your phone and you pair up the devices, what happens is that there's also a connection that's made between your Google TV and your phone. So as you're watching TV, if you get a text message, the text message will display on the screen. If you get a call, the caller ID will show up on the screen. Which, if you have, if you're a Cablevision user back in the East Coast, they have that functionality with their cable box.
Yeah.
When you have the cell phone,
the
cable phone VoIP, you can see the caller ID come up.
Yep.
Once you get used to that, you get like that's hard to move away from that. Like the phone rings, you're like, why can't I see who it is? So this kind of enables that kind of functionality, and it was a really kind of clever use of the Google TV platform in a paired mode with a phone. So I thought that was really interesting. It was nice to see some innovation in that regard.
Let's hope you're not watching a show with someone that you don't want to see all the contents of your text messages.
That's the risk. And we were talking about beforehand. Eileen said, "Can I turn that off?" And yeah, it's a setting. You don't have to have it. Yeah. That's a very good point because if you're sitting there with your significant other and somebody else texts you, you might have a problem.
There won't be.
Remember that guy that sent in that email about sensitive information on his phone.
So I'm not in love with the design. Enable remote. I'm not in love with some of the stuff looks, but I believe you can download skin packs or you can customize the color scheme and all that sort of stuff. So I mean, so it's pretty cool. I was excited to see that. The other app I want to see, which is actually by a loyal audience member who's been quite vocal over the past couple weeks, but Social GTV is an app that actually builds upon your TV watching experience and integrates basically Twitter to as you're watching television. It does a light overlay, and you can see here on the screen now. It does a little overlay where you pulls up tweets real time as you're watching television. You can customize where they appear. You can customize where the avatar shows, whether it's on the left or the right.
Would it just be from people that you follow, or just everybody?
Well, that's where it gets in. It can be everyone. You can just have it be search settings. So what you can do is and that's really what it is. It doesn't link up with your Twitter account, so it's not just your people following. It's mainly mm-hmm. focused on hashtags. You can see here, so you can limit what words appear, what users appear, what hashtags appear. So if you're watching the Super Bowl and I just want to see what everyone's saying about the Super Bowl, you type in hashtag Super Bowl and that shows it up.
So this is pulling in real time, though.
It's real time though.
Okay.
Yeah.
So see, that's the thing, is that what I think I'd rather see is the air time. Yeah. And the reactions from when they actually aired.
Well, this is based on the idea, and that's a good point, is that you're not time shifting. So it's the idea of if someone's watching the Super Bowl live, it's happening live.
Yeah, exactly.
So the thing is, if you're time shifting, then this becomes a little less useful.
Right.
Which is a good point. And I don't watch, I time shift everything. So
yeah,
I never
too.
Watch anything live. Well, but the Super Bowl I watch live. And sure enough, I was sitting there on the couch with my tablet,
watching
everybody be snarky about Madonna. Those real kind of, or
some,
the Oscars.
Yeah, the Oscars.
The Oscars
is
another.
Yes.
So the communal live watching, this is great.
No question.
And for the people who don't utilize time shifting or DVR functionality. Mm-hmm.
That would be a staggering amount of data.
Yeah.
Yeah, for them to have to track that. Yeah. And if Twitter actually retained and made public all of their history, which I don't believe that they still do right now, right?
Yeah,
you have to do third party.
Yeah, and the
Gina Trapani has an app that she had been developing for a couple of years to do just that for your own personal history.
Yeah.
I can't remember the name of it.
Because that's where they're making their money, is the pipe. I mean, like that.
But if they had, if they gave you access to all of that, maybe then it would be easier. Yeah. But for the developers of this app to track all of that forever,
no way. But it's definitely a good first step. I could see this developing a little more once you can link it to your Twitter account, limit it to your followers. That's cool.
Yeah.
That might already be happening, or that might be in development. I'm sure the developer will let us know about that. But once you have that in there, I could possibly see possible Facebook integration, you know, like kind of newsfeed kind of things if they allow that data out. But, I mean, it's needed, and it brings back that social experience.
Mm-hmm.
But that's my one complaint about the Google TV platform where it is right now, is that everything seems to be TV watching related, and I really want to see apps that utilize the fact that you have a computer with a big honking monitor.
Yeah.
And that you can actually do some computing. Now, those are the apps I always look for and I keep hoping for.
Yeah.
But we'll see. I'm optimistic. So
I have a weird experience or weird relationship with my Google TV altogether.
Really?
It's just weird. Like, I put it in the bedroom because I don't have a
console in there,
right?
Mm-hmm.
And I don't mind it in there.
It's a little weird, but, you know, I keep saying it's weird to have the keyboard, but oftentimes I might have my laptop on my lap, too.
I usually use my phone with it. I rarely use the keyboard anymore. I usually use my phone.
Oh, with the app.
With the app. But I don't have it in the living room because the Xbox does that job there. And there's not a lot that the Google TV does better than the Xbox does.
Yep.
So if there were something super compelling like what you're talking about.
Well, I mean, my argument, I mean, I have an Xbox as well, and I drive my living room TV with a Google TV.
Yeah.
And honestly, it's for me, it's the browser.
Oh,
and,
okay.
And the fact that, so it's like, for example, I don't have cable, so anybody, you know, so everyone knows I'm a cord cutter. And I've gotten back into the House Hunters game on HGTV. I'm a big fan of House Hunters. And and HGTV, don't shake your head. It's a good show.
I'm sure it is. I love that show, but you would expect that I would, right?
Oh, I love that show.
But anyways.
HGTV had one of my favorite name shows ever once. It was a show, it was years ago. This was before the housing market crash. It was a show called My House Is Worth What?
Oh, yeah, I remember that one. That was so good.
I love the idea of a question as a title.
Oh, I love it. Okay.
But so I don't have cable, and so how do I get my House Hunters fixed? It streams from HGTV.com. You can't do that on the Xbox. You can't.
Right.
Yeah, right. So the fact that I'm able to watch web video from any website, to me, that's a big
plus. I did have it in the living room, that was a big thing. If someone would come over, I'd be like, have you seen that YouTube video?
Yeah. So, anyway, so Google TV, I'm keeping my eye out. If anybody knows of any apps that have come out or they're particularly interesting or compelling, email us in. Let me know because I want to be checking them out. I'm trying to absorb as much Google. I'm trying to spend more time. My next project is going to be sideloading. Like, I haven't done that yet. So.
Yeah, people have been asking you about whether or not to root.
Yeah.
Because that root possibility has come up. What does it mean?
Because recently it was announced that you can root the Google TV, and that allows you basically to use Hulu, which currently I can't use, which is the thing that the Xbox does do very well.
Well, if you want to pay for it.
Yeah, I do pay
Plus.
For it. I do pay for it. Right. So that's how I watch Hulu on my big screen TV.
Okay.
But I haven't got. I'm not quite there rooting because I'm really root scared. And Jason, we've talked about this at all.
Like, do you have a review or do you have?
I have a Sony Blu-ray player.
Okay. See, I have a review and mine's discontinued altogether. So I'm not getting another one. Well, if I screw it up, I'm never going to get another one. That's what I'm worried about.
You can reinstall the app. You can
not after the Honeycomb update. If you rooted it and did that, you're done.
That's it.
Yeah.
Anyway, see, that's why I don't root things. But anyway, I'm going to try sideloading, so we'll see how that goes.
Okay.
So, all right. Enough of my Google TV talk.
Calm down, Ron.
Sorry.
It's okay.
You don't want Google TV to continue to improve and everything like that. It's such a chicken and egg situation right now as far as development for Google TV is concerned. There's actually some news that I missed until just a few minutes ago. I found it reported over the weekend that it's showing under 1 million Google TV devices in use, according to market data.
Because part of the problem is that a lot of you get it and ghetto and put it in the ghetto of your bedroom. You got to commit and put it in the living room. Make it your primary TV. You know, just like
it was
live
for
it
a while.
I know. 70%
of those devices are reviews, by the way. 70% of those devices are reviews.
I'm not
a discontinued item.
I'll tell you what. I bet another like 60% of those 70% were after they dropped the price to like $100.
Oh, right. Right. Yeah, exactly. All right, well, let's take a very quick break and thank our other sponsor. This episode is brought to you by Audible.com. Love Audible. Audible is the leading provider of audiobooks with more than 100,000 download titles across all types of literature, fiction, nonfiction, periodicals, you name it. They've probably got a book about it. For listeners of All About Android, Audible is offering you a free audiobook of your choice to give you a chance to try out the service. And I have a credit, and I keep meaning to go on there and pick something out. I've just been incredibly busy. Ron, you have one book that you you found on there.
I'm very excited. The new Michael Ian Black's new book, You're Doing It Wrong, is out. And not only is it out on Audible, but it's also read by Michael Ian Black. And if you're a fan of Stella or The State or the great podcast, my new favorite audio podcast, Mike and Tom Eat Snacks, it's a must listen to. It's that first one up there, Chad. You're not doing it right. But I read an interview in Entertainment Weekly. It's a great book. It's kind of a memoir kind of thing.
It's Michael. Only 6 hours and 31 minutes.
It's a light one. But yeah, really, really good book. And I just saw the movie Wanderlust this past weekend. It was all right. It was a B, but Michael Ian Black's in two scenes and he steals the show. So I'm a big Michael Ian Black fan. So there you go.
And it's a memoir.
It's a memoir-esque,
Type thing. I tend to like those. So.
Yeah.
Well, check that out. You can find that as well as just a ton of other books on there. And you can get one for free. If you do this, download this audiobook for free or any other of your choice by going to audiblepodcast.com/android. That's audiblepodcast.com/android. And Audible, you guys are the best. Thank you for supporting us here at All About Android and the TWiT Network.
Don't forget that you could listen to all of this on that awesome app that I'm looking at. I can see all my library here, most of which I haven't listened to yet, but I'm getting there. I'm stuck on Ready Player One still, which is really good. But then I have all these really long books. That's why I was really excited to see one that was only 6 hours long, because, there's many books here that are, 20.
Yeah, that Einstein 30. One was really, really long, and I made it about halfway through before I kind of got Einstein fatigue, and I had to kind of take a break. So I'm going to go back to it, because it was fascinating how far I got, but it's like 30 total hours or something like that. And that's a lot of Einstein.
That's a lot.
Especially when you're only listening in half hour to hour chunks, throughout the week. So, all right, let's duke it out. Let's get in the arena.
Two enter, one lives. Android Arena.
All right.
Exciting.
Welcome. Wow, I also forgot to do the poll. I'll have to do that while we're going here. Okay, so last week, episode 49, we took a look at a few different apps, and let's take a look at the results.
Oh, well, we got trounced.
So trounced.
Look at
that.
So sad.
Our guest came in and just wiped the floor with us.
Yeah.
That's the way it should be, honestly.
That's how it has to be. Tim Schofield of AC Syndicate.
And congratulations, Tim. We kind of knew you were going to win.
Yeah, so, everybody knew he was going to win. We saw the early results were not
the early
positive
polls
for us.
Were,
oh, yeah.
So clear.
They ran away with it.
I do like to thank all the people who tweeted me who said, damn you, for getting me addicted to Triple Town. So I know I'm not alone.
I would like to also acknowledge that I voted for Cerebrus as well. I didn't even vote for my own app.
There you go.
That's how good it was.
It was.
But had Cerebrus not won, Jason, you would have won with any due. So good job.
I should have saved it for another week.
Should have. That's the challenge.
Don't know what you're going to get.
So, Mark,
in the arena.
You've got a lot. You've got a big,
you got a lot
big shoes
on
to
you.
Fill here.
Yeah.
I think I've got pretty big feet. I think you guys have
confident.
All right.
You guys are going to have a fun time.
All right. So, this is a very special arena. I got to say, it was a lot of fun. We put the call out to you, fans of the show who also happen to be developers, to send us an email at aaa@twit.tv and let us know about your app and give us a little background. And this arena is dedicated to your apps. And I think more or less we ended up picking apps that don't necessarily already have a massive user base. There were a couple that came in that was like, I mean, this is really good, but it's kind of not playing on the same play field. You know what I mean? Just in terms of adoption and time of development.
Sure,
and all
like
that
I had to tell
stuff.
Foursquare that, listen, okay, we're not going to
cover
your
app.
I mean, I know you like your app.
You're
proud of it.
But Arena, Foursquare, or Twitter. Could you do us, please? So, I mean, there were just an insane amount of really good apps that were sent.
Yeah, I mean,
we had a
very, very long list that was hard to choose from. Mm-hmm. And I will be honest that one of the things I looked at was I wanted to see how many installs it got because I like the underdog. I wanted to give an opportunity for an app that hasn't got a lot of exposure to get some exposure.
Give them some exposure,
I've always wondered, like, when it comes to music, like, this is a little bit of an aside, but when it comes to music, I'm always looking for that band that no one's ever heard of.
Exactly.
That, because I have to imagine out of this vast catalog and world of music that there are bands out there that are undiscovered but yet just as cool as some of my very favorite stuff. They're very hard to find, right? I think it's the same in the apps. They're not discovered until they're discovered.
Yep.
So this is kind of one way to you know, find them and hopefully push them into the limelight. And I think we chose four pretty solid apps here.
Yeah, so Rowan, yours is definitely going to get more installs after this episode, I'm guessing. Yeah. But
we'll
now
see.
That I'm looking.
Let's start with you, Eileen.
Yeah, all right. So the app that I chose is directly kind of related to what I was talking about earlier when we were doing the Ting ad and talking about data and how I have been one of those people pinged. And you too, Ron.
I have.
Saying that we're top percentage of data users. I use my phone for many things.
That's the reason why
I have some issues with, you know, using Google Music or Amazon MP3 because I'm using, if I'm not in a Wi-Fi area, I'm using the data and I'm streaming and I'm hogging up bandwidth.
I generally don't use Wi-Fi at all, really, not even at home. Like, I'm just because I'm too lazy. And so, like, so I push as much data as I can through that pipe to my phone. So.
Yeah, me too. Okay, so in turn, I went ahead and chose an app submitted by, I'm so sorry if I say your name wrong. This is from a Finnish team, so his name is he's got to be Finnish. Janne Oksanen. And it's called Data Detective. Let me just get to the app. Data Detective basically shows you and breaks down your data usage on your phone, breaks it down via mobile or Wi-Fi. And I know a lot of phones have this now, especially those phones with bloatware have various apps that'll show you how much data you're using. But this breaks it down in a way. Now, it probably will work better once you start using it, once you see monthly totals. But what you do there is you kind of break down, you know, in settings when you first start. I don't know if you can see this, it's pretty small. Changing your general settings, you say, you know, the currency of your plan where, you know, where you are, first billing day of the cycle when you're done. And then, let me go back here. Then you change your subscription settings. And is it a pay as you go? Is it a monthly cap with overage fees? Is it a monthly cap with throttling? Probably that's where many of us is probably going to be at. Or unlimited. I still say unlimited, even though mine is being taken away, AT&T. I still have unlimited.
Bitter.
Damn you. So what they are trying to calculate is how much data you're using and how much that is, you're breaking it down monthly, you know, how much you're actually paying. So, for instance, as they say here on their website, for example, did you know that if you have a 500 megabit monthly cap on your mobile data with $9.99 per month and you only use 100 megabytes per month, you pay yearly over $95 for nothing. That's what they're trying to say. They're trying to give you this sort of computation of how much you're actually using versus how much you're paying and whether or not it's worth it. So when you, they give you some tips here on the app itself, money-saving tips. What to do, like disable automatic sync, remove unused apps, disable roaming data, turn off mobile data. And then you go into the applications tab and you could see the billing cycle in many different ways. Last 30 days, last 24 hours, last 7 days, and this billing cycle. Now, I've only been using this for a week, so I'm going to go ahead and show last 7 days. You know what? I probably should have turned on my brightness, shouldn't I? Okay, so as you can see, I've been using Amazon MP3 quite a lot. And
wow.
You could see here the Wi-Fi versus mobile. Mobile, 147.12 megabits versus when I was on Wi-Fi using it. Because, you know, I'm using it in my car. I'm driving and I'm playing it. I've got my little aux cable. Obviously, music is high up on my list because the next one is Google Music and it's breaking it down. And it just gives you sort of your list of apps, how much you're using on Wi-Fi versus on mobile. And then you can even look at your totals. It gives you a little pie chart right here. It's kind of handy. There is a paid app. You could pay $1.59. It's U.S. for the pro version. Supposedly, you get quicker updates and you don't get the ads that they have here. I have the free version right now. But that, I guess, that is pretty much Data Detective in a nutshell. And again, I know that a lot of carriers have ways for you to track your data, but I think this breaks it down a little bit more. When you see a question mark next to a specific item, it tells you what might be going on there. What are unspecified system processes? Unspecified system processes are Android platform processes that cannot be linked to any specific applications. They are, for example, system libraries that applications use to stream live media from the web or applications that have been removed. Unfortunately, they give you sort of descriptions on some of these things that you may not know what it is if it's not exactly an app. Anyways, so I thought they did a pretty decent job. I'm actually testing out another app that does data usage tracking, And a couple tips I'd have for these guys. It would actually be nice to have notifications if something is using up a lot of data, and something they can turn off, because that's what the other app does. And I think that's actually pretty handy for me to go, oh, oops, I'm using this too much. Or maybe I should think about making sure I'm on Wi-Fi for that. But otherwise, it's a free paid app. It seems to be doing a decent job. I'm curious to see as I move through the month of March, you know, my real usage of data on my phone. So thank you to Versign Limited and John.
I think it might be Yon.
Yon Oxenen.
I think it's pronounced Yogging.
Yeah, what?
Jogging. It's a soft J.
there's episode title. It's a soft J.
But I think data is a real issue, and when you don't have unlimited data, you need to know what you're doing and what you're using, and I think they Lord did a pretty
knows,
decent job.
Lord knows I go through a lot of data, so I don't blame you at all.
I'd be curious to see what your top...
Yeah, no, I should install it.
Oh, you did?
No, I haven't installed it. I should install it. I'm nervous.
Okay.
Want to know, do you?
Is it my turn?
Yes, go.
So I went with an app that solves a problem that I'm pretty sure people have written in about. And I love when somebody has a problem and they solve it themselves, which is awesome. So this app is called KidPlay, and it was submitted to us by David Parry. And I believe I pronounced that right. I apologize if I hasn't. And
it's basically, a silent P.
It's a silent P. Oh. Yari. David Yari. yeah. And basically, KidPlay allows you to – I was trying to figure out how to describe it, but it's basically a protected launcher that allows you to add a launcher over your phone and control what applications are available. So the idea being that if you have a kid, which I don't, but I know people who do, and you want to keep them occupied by letting them play Cut the Rope or Angry Birds or whatever, you can give them the phone and have them play the game without them getting into your email or onto the browser or onto your Facebook account or any of that sort of stuff. Very, very simple. I've installed it here on my phone, and I can actually show you how it all uses, how we use it here. So here's the app. Very simple. What you do, you launch it, and it just loads up. You get a little agreement. Little update kind of information, and really simple. You can start the app, you can add an application, remove an application, and manage the passcode. So basically what happens is that once I click start, it's going to go, and now the only apps that are available are the ones I specified. So in this particular case, I made Spotify, Netflix, X-Men, Atari, Cut the Rope, and Roller available. These are the only apps that that you can launch from it for right now. If I wanted to get back to it, I just hit the menu button, and now I've got to enter in the passcode. And if I enter in the passcode, which I set before, which is the same code as my luggage.
Now everybody knows.
Nice.
Ron Richards' luggage.
I don't actually have luggage locks.
Oh, okay.
1, 2, 3, 4.
But it would be if I did.
It will stop it. Oh, God. Oh, no. Oh, my God.
Oh, no.
Oh, no. Wait a minute. This is awful.
Oh, sorry. As we're maniacally laughing. Oh, Ron.
My evil plan worked.
Oh, no. Oh, wait. All right. Anyway. Anyway, nonetheless, it would hypothetically – I think I forgot what number I put in. It would hypothetically take you out of the app. That's a user error. That's not a problem on the app.
Okay.
Anyway, if we go back to the app, you can see – so I can see the things. So now what I thought was interesting was that you can't disable the home button when you're doing this sort of launch type thing. So in this particular case, like if I hit the search button, nothing happens, right? The menu button triggers the unlock. But if I hit home, it'll take me back to my home screen. But what he's done is it's clever is that you wait a couple seconds and it loads and it goes back to the KidPlay screen.
Does it allow you to click around when it goes to the home screen?
It does. That's the one challenge is that I can – oh, no, actually – oh, yes, it does. So – there's a chance that your kid can be a little smart and get an app launched in that window, but that's a limitation of the OS. And I think that with some more work on it, perhaps David can figure out a better workaround. Another workaround is also that if you get a text message or a notification, those still come up over the app itself. But if you're looking for a simple way to limit the usage of your phone for your kids, KidPlay just seems like a good opportunity. Remember your passcode, though. Don't learn a lesson from me.
That is important.
Now, is that it doesn't do anything like prevent your kid from buying in-app purchases or anything?
Well, yeah, it does. Well, it does. Oh, no, in-app purchases,
it
does not do that.
I just asked because there was an email that we got from a listener, and I thought, oh, maybe this is the result.
I do remember that. Yeah, no, yeah. As far as I know, it doesn't limit in-app purchases, but it does limit, like, I can't load the marketplace because I didn't allow it to be used. So.
Got it.
Yeah. Right. So I think it's $1.99, and you know, independent developer, I had no problem kicking $2 to them. I don't even have kids, so someday I will, and I'll want to have them play Angry Birds on my phone. And now I'm prepared.
Maybe you'll get kids just so that you can use that app.
Yeah, exactly. So.
Perfect. That's all it took.
That's all I needed. Just that push.
Just so. An app.
Simple, elegant solution.
There
remember,
you go.
Remember your passcode.
Words to live by. Yep.
Ron Richards.
All right, Mark, it's your
I'm
turn.
Up. Yeah. I can't get it to go into portrait. It's making me sad panda.
Sad panda.
Well, that's okay. We'll do it.
Yeah, dude.
We'll do it this way. So mine is called Trivialist. I thought it was Trivialist, but Jason said otherwise.
Well, that's so, just because that's what it's called.
So I'm so screwed now, though, because I don't know if I can get to the buttons there. So what this is it's a very simple little trivia game. You can buy coins if you want to, which I don't want to. But you can do that. I really wasn't able to figure out the purpose of the coins. I think they might be able to buy like a 50-50 cutoff for the trivia actual game. There we go, scrolling. I actually picked this one right from the get-go because it's the only one in the list that we were looking at that at least attempted to follow the Holo UI guidelines. Mm-hmm. So you can see there's swiping going on here, which is nice.
That's nice.
And it works. It's stable, and it doesn't drain the battery. What it is, it's a really, really simple trivia game. You just take turns doing trivia. So I figured what we could do is just do one really quick, and we're doing, there we go, movie. And on what show does Charlie Sheen star as Charlie Harper? Can you answer that before it even comes up?
What is that?
It's Two and a Half Men.
Two and a Half Men.
Oh, continue.
Got him. This is my only major complaint.
But oh, the ads.
Can you pay and get rid of the ads? Or?
Is there a paid version?
I believe you can. I think you can buy enough coins. You can buy enough coins. Yeah, you can buy enough coins to. Which one is it? Yeah, Trivialist Pro. So you get a bunch of coins to get rid of the ads. But
Chad's chasing the screen orientation.
Sorry, Chad. Well, I've been kicking the crap. You can see my points, 482 points to 291. I've been kicking the crap out of this guy since Saturday.
Do you know who Travis Hoffman is?
I don't, but I hate him. I hate him.
Hi, Travis.
hope you're okay
with us showing your name.
Sorry, I'm kicking your butt so hard. But you can chat with the other person.
Sorry. Oh, Ace.
I'm winning. Send.
Oh, boy.
And then he can say horrible things back. It did a really nice job connecting with Facebook. It pulled in my profile. Facebook Connect worked nicely. That's your just little waiting for somebody else to play. And you can make more games. I don't want to play with my Facebook friends. I don't want them to be bothered by me. But it's pretty decent. It's actually pretty fun. Once somebody responds, it's fun to have just a little, hey, answer a little question. And I know quite a bit about movies and TV. So
the coins.
Yes.
All right. So during each game, you have the opportunity to use 3 lifelines.
Right.
And each lifeline costs 20 coins.
Like right.
Okay. So that's where it comes into play. You start with 200 coins by downloading the game. And then if you need more of those, I guess you can
purchase some, or
you can earn them by winning.
I've not needed to use any coins.
Mm-hmm.
I pity the fool who uses coins.
So therefore, do you think the questions are too easy?
No. It actually, the way that it works is it starts at 100, and it counts down the longer you take to answer it. So there were a couple that I was like, I don't know.
Yeah.
But I didn't want to use the
lifeline.
Yeah. So I just like waited until, actually, I had no idea. I took a stab at one of them, and I got it. But
C, always choose C. That's what I learned in the SATs.
Is that so?
When in doubt, choose C.
Yeah, I think I heard that too.
Remember your passcode.
I have no idea why.
Remember your passcode.
It's pretty fun. If I keep playing it, I will definitely buy some coins to support the developer. It's well designed and it's fun.
Great. Yeah, it does have a nice nice quality design too.
Yeah.
I'm going to steal this.
Sure. Yeah, please.
For mine now. All right, so that is Trivialist. It's easy to think it's Trivialist. I thought it was too, and then you look at it and that eye is missing. I don't know if there's another app called Trivialist or what it is.
Words are difficult, man.
Maybe there's a reason. We don't know the reason.
No. Trivialist.
But check it out. All right. Now, I chose an app based on the fact that if you're watching this segment, you probably like to discover apps, right? Is that a safe assumption to be
made?
No.
Not
really.
No. Whatever. They just want to see us fight. Yeah, <right.
laughs> and maybe they'll get a good app out of it as well. Mike Wolfson submitted the app that I chose. It's called Droid of the Day. And it is it's basically a new app every day that Mike picks
for you, essentially. So it's an app that allows you to kind of just go to today's app, for example. We'll go ahead and pull it up. And he's recommended Transparent Screen. Now, Mike says he does it for fun, not for profit. So there isn't a whole lot of, you know, there aren't any ads here, nothing like that. He says, I'm a huge Android fan, and I treat this app as a way to spread the gospel of Android awesomeness. I also hope this app will drive some business to great Android apps so the developers will continue to support the platform. These are all hand-picked apps. They're focusing, the focus is on apps that extend the Android platform in unique ways, have low visibility in many cases, or are just plain cool. You can actually go to the app and see the previous 2 weeks' worth of a history of the apps that he's picking. And I mean, you'll actually recognize a few of these from
Guard
our show.
My Angel.
The Sims Free Play right there.
Oh, hey, Sims.
Yeah. And now he's a fan of the show. He says he uses All About Android as one of his sources. He has many sources,
sweet.
And he's been doing this for a little while now. He has a decent following in the Android market. And, you know, just kind of look at Helidroid 3D. Which I actually downloaded as a pretty cool 3D
nice.
Kind of helicopter flying game. You end up getting a notification in your top notifications window at one time per day. And basically, you know, the new app appears there. It's just kind of a good way to kind of see apps that you may have missed. A lot of times, like, I kind of get a little twitch because I want to install something new and play with something new, but
all
I don't necessarily want to go through the effort of going into the market and scanning through endlessly at like trending apps or whatever, although sometimes that's satisfying, or reading through the blogs. I just kind of want a no-brainer app to choose. And, you know, Mike, obviously, I think he does a great job of mixing in. Cocktail Flow is there. There you go, Ron.
I love it.
between games and, you know, things that are better for like productivity and all that kind of stuff. He really covers the bases. He does say that he's possibly going to do a pro version that gives you endless history. Mm-hmm. So you'll have the entire list of apps that he's picking from to do this. He also runs all of these apps more or less on a variety of different devices to make sure that they run well on the broadest number of devices possible.
Wow.
So he's not picking an app that, you know, a bunch of people are going to download and it's not going to work on their device. Obviously,
right.
You probably can't avoid that in some cases, but he really does try to kind of nip that in the bud. And that is it. Droid of the day. I'm sure there are other application kind of recommendation engines out there, but this is literally an app for apps. And it's managed and manicured by Mike personally. So, you know, every day this he's going through and choosing what he thinks you might want to play. And I respect that.
It's really nice of him.
I know. He kind of takes some of the guesswork out.
Maybe someday you'll get bought by the Android Marketplace or Google, just
or
like
jar.
Chomp got
or
bought by by Apple.
Yeah.
So,
it could happen.
It could happen.
Yeah.
Dreams can come true.
They
oh, no.
can.
So
that is Droid of the Day. So, let's see here. So we have Data Detective, we have Kid Play, we have Trivialist, and Droid of the Day. And we didn't really announce this. We've been holding on to,
get ready for it,
the HTC Rhyme.
Wow.
You remember months ago, right?
Where's the charm?
Good phone. It's good phone.
It's over at the desk.
Okay. Yeah. As long as you have the charm.
Jason loves the charm.
I'm not giving the charm up.
That's
staying with me.
That's a lady phone.
So we have
phone.
The HTC Rhyme. We've been looking for a way to give it away on the show. Yep. And it just kind of occurred to us this afternoon, like, this is actually really good for developers because the more devices you have, the more devices you can test your app on. So why not give this to the winner of the phone or of the
arena?
Of the arena. So one of you four are going to win the HTC Rhyme and all of its assorted accessories that we have for you.
Including the dongle.
Including the dongle. Hey, you want to make sure your app talks to the dongle, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Talk to the dongle. The link for this week's poll is bit.ly/poll50AAA. That's bit.ly/poll50AAA. And vote for your choice, a winner from this week's Android Arena. They will win this phone to be able to test on more devices.
The big 50th episode arena. This is the one.
This is a good 50th episode thing.
Absolutely.
An early return show that Jason might be enjoying a victory lap in a week from now.
Oh, okay. Yeah. I like it. Yeah. I like it.
Yep.
I like the taste of victory.
Well, there you
potentially.
Go.
Yeah.
Ron, how you feeling there?
Hey, mine applies to a very specific niche of parents.
Yeah. Yes.
And, you know, and I believe the parents they probably watch the the show, not live, because they've got the kids. They're probably starting, you know, giving them
dinner.
So you
think you're going to come from behind at the very
end? Yeah, I think I've got a bit of an underdog with this one, I'll be honest. And it solves a problem.
Yes,
so,
it does.
Yeah,
absolutely. It does. So next week, we're going to do another grab bag. So we're back to just a open forum for whatever we want to cover. We also have a special guest, Aaron Gingrich of AndroidPolice.com. You may remember when we were in our beta episode.
Yeah, we had someone. Was that him?
We had Aaron.
Okay.
He's going to come back and he's going to join us for an actual episode that actually hits the feeds. But before we go, there's breaking news.
We rarely get to break news on air.
I know.
I'm very excited.
Admittedly, it's not the most important in the world. But it's
some sort of breaking news graphic.
It's worth noting.
Okay, great. Oh.
Thank you.
Repurposed that hardware one too.
Chat was like, "Do you want me to use the breaking news graphic?" I'm like, "There's a breaking news
graphic?
Don't
give away the secrets."
So first announced at last year's Google I/O. Let's step into our time machine. Google has finally enabled the direct app downloads upwards of 4 gigs. In size. That's 2 files at 2 gigs each, an increase from the previous 50 meg limitation. Now, this is big news for games in particular.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Because you download a game oftentimes, and the pack is larger than the market allows, so you then have to download an in-game
thing. That happened to me with Sonic. I downloaded Sonic the Hedgehog, and it took forever to download a 64 meg package. Yeah.
Well, that's exactly the Sims, same way. Yeah. Download the app, and then you have to wait for, and hopefully, you know, you got to wait till you're on Wi-Fi.
I'm in 4 gigs split across 2 files. That's a lot. Hopefully you won't have to do that.
And it's also important to note that your 15-minute refund window the clock doesn't start ticking until the download completes.
Right. God.
So not from the point of purchase, which is genius.
Yeah, right? Absolutely. I mean, that would just be, they'd be shooting themselves in the foot if they did that from the point of purchase. Yep. Thank you to SciWizM in the chat room for throwing that into chat.
Breaking news.
I know, I love it. Nice. Isn't it exciting?
That's awesome.
Mark Bersteiner?
Bersteiner, yes.
Bersteiner, thank you so much for joining
us. Thank you for having me.
Absolutely.
What a blasty blast.
Right on. Are you in the area? Or
yeah, I'm here all week for GDC.
Oh, okay, cool.
Yeah. So if anybody's in San Francisco, hang out.
Yeah.
Not with me, with each other.
But also.
Amongst yourselves, right?
Yeah, you guys continue to hang out. I just want you to know I'm here.
Don't forget to sign up on GetFTW.com.
Yes, please do.
What else do you want to plug? Anything.
That's pretty much it. I mean, I think if you guys sign up now, that what we want to do for everybody who's signing up right now is give you a couple of months of Pro FTW once that goes live at the end of the month for free. And you guys are going to be really our most important users. The first few thousand people that we have using this stuff, and the developers too, you're going to help us shape this. We don't really see ourselves as a company building something for somebody else. We see ourselves as an extension of the user base. Mm-hmm. We just happen to be the ones who have the tools to make it for you. So
awesome.
We love to hear what you want, and we want to make it for you. So we're really excited to start getting some more feedback.
So that's getftw.com.
Yeah, that's the best thing you can do.
Awesome.
We'll start emailing you.
Do you have a Twitter ID?
Yeah, it's getftw also. I personally am Mark B.
All right.
But, yeah.
Cool.
That's pretty much it.
Right on. Well, thanks for joining us.
Thank you.
Your site says referred by Sidron/MarkB.
Yeah, that all works too. Oh, you know what? The other thing too is
we do need developer support.
There's a page on the site that says recruit. So what we did was actually made mail to links for all of the developers that we'd really like to see FTW in. And then we gave you a little form letter for you to email your favorite developers and let them know
that this is something that you need
from their game, and they don't need to do a lot to support it.
Oh, that's cool. Happy you mentioned that.
Yeah,
that's cool. Great.
It's clever.
So do that, and then you'll get FTW.
Yeah.
Potentially.
FTW.
There you go. All right, Ron, go.
Cool. So you can get some RON if you go to RonXO.com. No, if you go to about.me/RonXO.
Did that just happen?
Yeah.
That just happened.
I can't control it sometimes. I'm sorry.
Man. So, get some RON.
Go to about.me/RonXO. You can see all my stuff there. Go to Twitter, Facebook, Google+, all my various social networks. And check out iFanboy and Graphically, iFanboy.com and Graphically.com, my day jobs, if you like comic books and apps about comic books. There you go.
Cool.
I'm still in shock.
Sorry.
It was just too brilliant.
I just had to go for it. It's not often I can exploit my 3-letter name.
That's true. That's true. All right, Eileen, go.
You can find me about.me/EileenRose or on Twitter at EileenTV.
Or gplus.to/EileenTV, the corrected Eileen TV.
Yeah, it's not Eileen Rose.
No, it's not. You've been saying that for weeks now.
Yeah, I've been so wrong. Okay.
And no one really
nobody cares.
And I'm at Jason Howell on Twitter or about.me/Jason Howell. And thank you for tuning in once again for another episode of All About Android. That is it for this week. Leave us a voicemail. Let us know what you're thinking about Android. 347-SHOW-AAA. You can hit us up on email and actually send us a video link as well. We'd love to play your video mail. AAA at twit.tv. Hit the show up on Twitter. You can find us at Android Show. Show notes can always be found at twit.tv/AAA. And finally, we record this show live every Monday starting at 5 p.m. Pacific at live.twit.tv. So you should come on down and be a part of the chat room and help us break some breaking news at the end of the show like SciWizM did. Thank you so much for tuning in this week, you guys. And we will see you next week on another episode of All About Android. Bye.
I'm going to get the cupcakes.
Oh, cupcakes. Yeah.
And sorry,
it's
everyone.
It's a perfect amount of richness, too. Mm-hmm. It's not super rich.
Sorry, you guys.
Because I'll tell you what the problem with the cupcake is. The problem with the cupcake, especially with our most recent cupcake trends, you know, by your Magnolia or your whatever, is they tend to overdo it on the buttercream frosting.
Yes. Mm.
And they tend to not pay as much attention to the cake. And now the cake is a key part of your cupcake.
It's called a cupcake.
Because it's a cupcake.
Key part of your cupcake.
And Bill Cosby is here.
The cake needs to be a combination of firm to hold up the frosting, but also moist. Because you don't want there's nothing worse than a firm cupcake that's dry on the way down.
Chad is like, can't even stand it. He's like, oh my God.
It doesn't matter.
Cupcakes.
Doesn't matter.